almost all by myself. I can pick up my dollies, put them up on the highest shelf. I can drink a whole juice box in 30 seconds flat. Hey, we can do anything, yeah, man, we're all that. Cause I'm a girl, girl, girl. A girl, girl, girl of the world.
Welcome to Hubbowa, a Muppet quiz show brought to you by toughpigs.com. It's your favorite quiz show that's not like the others. Here, Muppet fans, Muppet professionals, and everyone in between competes for fabulous prizes and to see who's this week's toughest pig. I'm your host, Becca Petunia of toughpigs.com. You know, as the host of the internet's most popular Muppet Quiz Show podcast, people are always asking me a ton of questions. Questions like, who are those two old guys in the balcony? And when did Cookie Monster stop being the Veggie Monster? And why won't you stop talking about Grover for 1 minute and let me go to sleep? But one question I don't get asked enough is, what is the best question you've ever asked on Hubbowa? So please, can somebody ask me that?
Hey, Becca, what's the best question you've ever asked on Hubbowa?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that question. Well, I think everybody knows that it's obviously the final question of the Just Happy to Be Them game from the season 2 Sesame Grab Bag episode. That's the one where I stumped both my guests and the entire internet by asking about Betty Lou's interests. It went a little something like this.
Their goldfish is Talbert. Their best friend's Luis. They love the xylophone and orange juice and baseball and overalls with lots of pockets. And their dream is to build a go-kart.
I think this is going to be so someone we're not expecting. And it's going to be really dumb.
I mean, that's clearly what I'm building up to.
I also just get the joke.
This is like one of those ones that was written by some guy that never watched the show. And it's just like, okay.
Well, the only other clue I can give. Oh, Joe.
Okay. Farley. Have we said Farley?
You guessed him, but he was wrong. But it also isn't Farley.
It is not Farley.
Final clue. They live at 456 Sesame Street. This is the last clue I can give.
Can I guess?
We have exhausted the character sheet.
Is it Dawn Music?
It is not. Great guess.
I'm just kind of agog. I didn't think a Sesame Street trivia question could really leave me this.
Well, I will tell you. This character, ostensibly a well-known character, because literally I am looking right now at Sesame Street merch that I have in my living room from the 80s, and this character is on it. There's Ernie and Bert and Snuffy and Cookie Monster and Grover and Sherlock Hemlock and Luis's best friend, Betty Lou.
Well, of course. Of course, Betty Lou.
Since then, I've considered Betty Lou to be the unofficial mascot of Hubbowa, which is kind of confusing, since the almost identical Prairie Dawn is the unofficial mascot of my life. But I digress. Well, we had so much fun learning about Betty Lou that I think we can all agree that it's time to learn even more about her. So rather than ask one question about Betty Lou, folks, it's time for an entire episode about her.
Are you serious?
That's right. I've brought you here for an entire Sesame Street grab bag episode inspired by the life and times of your friend and mine, Betty Lou.
Oh, but... my God.
So, I will say this will make more sense as we keep going. Don't panic too much yet. This will make more sense as we go. But yes, I wanted to challenge myself to see if I could write an entire Betty Lou episode. And here we go.
I mean, if anyone could.
Yeah.
As always, today's questions were written by me with help from that amazing Muppet resource, Muppet Wiki. And speaking of, let's agree to play fair today. Please don't use Muppet Wiki or any other resource during this game. I've decided that Betty Lou, one of her character traits is that she hates it when people are unfair. That's her thing. I decided. Anyway, before we can learn more about Betty Lou, we need to learn a little bit more about both of our guests. That's right. It's time for our first game, To Tell a Face. Contestants, you're going to buzz in to answer some questions about yourself. Whoever buzzes in first will get introduced first. Ready? Go. All right, Alethea, you buzzed in first, so I'm going to ask you questions first. Alethea, what Hi. Is your... Hi there, what is your name?
Oh, it's Alethea.
There we go. And this season, it's about time. I'm finally asking this question as well. What pronouns should we use for you?
I use she, her pronouns.
Okay. Now, Alethea, you're a first-time guest, not only on this podcast, but a first-time guest on any of the Tough Pigs podcasts.
Oh.
So, this is a scoop. I just recorded yesterday with another first-time. This is my third episode this season with first-time Tough Pigs podcast guests. I'm spreading out.
Yeah.
anyway, so this is your first time on any of the Tough Pigs podcasts. So I do want to ask you, what's your history with the Muppets?
Sure. So when I was a kid, I was really scared of most of the Muppets. Probably Play With Me Sesame was like my introduction to the Muppets and Sesame Street. My dad does really good Muppet impressions, like to the point where it also did not help my fear of the Muppets. So I liked Ernie okay. I think I liked Prairie Dawn, and I liked Zoe a lot, and Big Bird. But Bert terrified me, and my dad did not help that by doing Bert impressions at any time of the day. And showing me the mysterious nose snatcher skit did not help with the nightmare fuel at all. So I was pretty afraid of Bert for a good portion of my childhood. But then COVID hit and I kind of like went back into like some of my childhood stuff and was rediscovering the Muppets. I had like watched the Muppet movie for maybe the second time in my life, like the beginning of COVID, and then I maybe watched it like 15 more times in the first 6 months of COVID. And I like got into the Muppet fandom. I got into Fraggle Rock again, which I had watched when I was like six. We picked up the DVD box sets from FYE. Is it FYE? Yes, sorry.
I've never been sure if it's pronounced FYE or FI.
I think it's FYE, right?
You're probably right.
I don't know. I mean,
For Your Entertainment is what it stands for.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's FYE.
I know that. That's a useless trivia fact that I
know. How many points do you get for that?
Five.
And then Sesame Street, I kind of got into the most recently out of the three of them, like, again, as, you know, a late teenager. And I just kind of like re-fell in love with it. Like I watched Follow That Bird again, and I had, you know, memories of watching that on a VHS over and over again, jumping up and down on my basement couch. Like for some reason that's ingrained in my memory. And my dad is like, no, that didn't happen. We didn't have that couch and we didn't have a VHS. We didn't have the VCR, and then I found the VHS, and I was vindicated in my memory. That's not important, but what's important is that I sort of just like re-fell in love with Sesame Street and watched Street Gang a million times and read the book and very, very much became like entrenched in the moral values of Sesame and like learning more about it all the time. And so for that reason, I would consider myself kind of a new Sesame Street fan, even though I run a Sesame Street history account. I just love it so much. But I'm not extremely confident in how much I know of Betty Lou.
Well, I will say I love Sesame History. That's the account that you run on Twitter and Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And that's really great. And I always say there's plenty of room for new fans as well. It's funny. This is how I know that you're from Canada and about the same age as our Canadian friend Iffy, because Iffy also was introduced to Sesame Street via Play With Me Sesame, because that's what was on.
Oh, is it Sesame Park is the co-production up there, so you wouldn't have seen the American Sesame Street as much?
Not to be like, I'm so young, but I think I'm too young for Sesame Park.
Sesame Park, I don't think was on air when you and Iffy were children.
Yeah. Okay, shows what I know. I'm already losing at this. That's fascinating, though. That's a really cool story.
See, I know this from talking to Iffy. But yes, Iffy learned about Ernie and Bert and all of that from Play With Me Sesame as well. Hmm. Yeah, so my last question that I'm going to ask you, seeing as we're focusing today on Betty Lou, the character that maybe I wish got a little more attention, which Sesame Street character do you wish got some more attention these days?
I think you're probably going to guess my answer to this. The answer for me is Zoe. I miss Zoe. I mean, like, I'm biased because she was very much like a part of the early 2000s Sesame Street, you know, like kid culture and merchandising. But I always like have a soft spot for Zoe, both because of like, I love Fran Brill and I love the way she does the voice and like the mannerisms and the way Zoe's like catchphrase is, "Don't joke me." Like, that's such a cute little, that's such a thing that like a 3-year-old would say. And like, I think that it's true that she like picked it up like from hearing like 3-year-olds talking in the playground.
Yeah, I believe that was in Sesame Unpaved.
I have this whole, you know, like anti-capitalist rant that I go on when I talk about Abby Cadabby, who a lot of people really love. I can't personally get behind it. I stand with the people who love Abby Cadabby, but I do believe that Abby Cadabby is one big merchandising ploy.
You're not wrong. It is literally stated that I've seen you go on this rant, but like they were thinking of merchandise when they designed that character, and I do think she's grown beyond that. And
yes,
you know,
yeah,
Leslie does a great job with Abby. Yeah. I met Abby 2 days before the pandemic shut everything down. I was lucky enough to visit the Sesame Street set on March 11th, 2020.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think both things can be true, that her design was very specifically calculated to be easily merchandisable, and that she's performed, you know, has a talented performer, absolutely, and she's become a fun character.
Yeah, for sure.
Zoe's a great choice, though, and, you know, you're right about Fran, and I'm obviously a big Fran Brill fan as well, for obvious reasons. And you know, really, there's no one can do it like she did. You know, again, I love that they're trying to keep using Zoe sometimes, but it really just isn't the same without Fran. All right. Well, Alethea, you've earned 20 points for answering those questions. So look at this. Look at this. No matter how anxious you might be, you definitely aren't going to walk away from here with 0 points.
Wow.
And let's move on to our next contestant. Our next contestant, what is your name?
My name is Ryan Rowe.
All right. And Ryan, I'm going to ask the same question. What pronouns should we use?
Yes, he, him is good for me.
Okay. Now, Ryan, everybody knows you. You're one of the co-owners of toughpigs.com, the host of our flagship podcast, Moving Right Along. I'm trying to think of something funny. co-creator of the superhero named Captain Google. So everybody knows all of this about you already. So I'm going to ask you another important question. Where do I park my bicycle?
In Buffalo.
Okay, sure.
I don't know. And
last question. What Sesame Street character do you wish got more attention?
I am gonna say it might be a different answer if you ask me, you know, any other day of the week. Today I'll go with Snuffy because I have noticed recently people lamenting a lack of Snuffy in recent episodes of Sesame Street. I understand that some of that is probably because of COVID precautions of having two puppeteers trapped inside a little tent of a puppet, but yeah, Snuffy's great, and I hope that today's Sesame watching kids actually know who he is and love him as much as we do.
Well, you know, there's an easy answer to this question, which is they could bring back Alice Snuffleupagus,
who, oh, yeah,
who's just one person.
They should do that anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Ryan, you've also earned yourself 20 points.
All right.
And let me tell you, both of you, for doing so great there, you've made me feel as happy as Betty Lou would feel if she got to build a go-kart. Again, I'm going to remind you, that's her dream, okay, according to the Sesame Street Treasury.
Yes, of course.
Anyway, so let's get things started with our first real trivia game. Now, one of the Betty Lou puppets' first appearances was in a game show sketch called Pick Your Pet. Here, she was called Lucy Jones and had to choose a favorite pet between three choices: Little Bird, Baskerville the Hound, and the Beautiful Day Monster. All of these would make perfect pets, let's be honest. Anyway, thinking about that game got me thinking about Sesame Street pets. A lot of our favorite furry friends have furry friends of their own. So we're going to play our own version of Pick Your Pet right now. I will name a Sesame Street pet. You'll buzz in and name the owner. So if I said Talbert the Goldfish, you'd buzz in and say Betty Lou.
Of course.
But if I said Talbot the Goldfish, you'd buzz in and say Bert.
Wow.
It's simple. They won't be as hard as those two. Each of these correct answers is worth 2 points. And as always, wait until I finish naming the pet before you buzz in so our friends at home can play along. Are you ready?
In just a few moments, a lovely little girl will get to choose one of these animals for her very own pet.
Okay, question one. Dorothy the Goldfish. Alethea.
That's Elmo.
That is Elmo. Even if Elmo only cares about tango these days.
Oh yeah, where's Dorothy?
No, just tango. We only care about tango now.
Didn't Dorothy appear in animated form in the Tango animated special? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, question two. Bernice the Pigeon. Ryan.
Bert.
That is Bert. Question three. Fluffy the Elephant. Ryan.
Oscar the Grouch.
That is Oscar the Grouch, one of his other pets other than Slimy. Question four. Fatatita the Cat. Ryan?
That would be the Count.
That is Count Von Count.
I'm glad you didn't ask any either of us to spell that cat's name.
Yeah, no, we just recorded our Halloween episode yesterday, and my good friend Mike Westfall, host of the Advent Calendar House mm-hmm. podcast, was like, I don't remember the name. It's like fa ta 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 ti ta ti to ta ta ta. And I'm like, you know what? I'll give it to you. You're close enough. And interestingly enough, he also has a bat named Fata Tita. Not a very creative namer.
Huh.
He's into numbers.
Yeah, yeah, no, he likes numbers. I'm surprised his cat's name isn't like 12.
Yeah. Sure. And then he would like name them for each.
Yes. Question 5. Watson the dog. Alethea?
I'm going to guess Sherlock Hemlock.
It is Sherlock Hemlock.
Literary references.
In the 90s, he had a dog named Watson. Question 6. Chucky Sue the hamster. Ryan?
Okay, well, I know this one. It's Telly.
This one is Telly, correct. Question 7. Barkley the dog. Yeah, Alethea?
Well, so I heard bark, bark, bark because my internet glitched out and you repeated yourself.
Okay.
So I heard Barkley and I
That's
was thinking about...
who I was talking about, yeah.
Mm-hmm, I was thinking about Barkley the fish.
Okay.
Who is owned by Elmo.
That is true. Elmo does have a fish named Barkley.
Yes.
Before Dorothy.
Yes.
I was asking about Barkley the dog. But I will give you 2 points for Barkley the fish.
Thank you.
Ryan, had never heard of Barkley the fish.
It's in like one episode.
Okay.
Ryan, who owns Barkley the dog?
Well, I don't know if they've established a new owner, but Linda... traditionally.
Yeah, Linda's the only one who I think they've officially said ever owned him, other than in the book, A Bird's Best Friend, where Big Bird has Barkley. I would have accepted that.
Well, yeah, and Big Bird went on international trips with Barkley, so.
Big Bird went all over.
I feel like Alan probably took in Barkley.
That's a nice thought.
Well, speaking of Zoe, there's an episode, right, where Bob is walking, the last episode to ever have Barkley, I believe. Bob is walking Barkley, and Zoe is afraid of Barkley.
Yes.
And they need to talk about that. So maybe Bob has it, because, you know, he and Linda were an item.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, we also don't know, like, maybe Linda still lives on Sesame Street. We just never see her on the show anymore. Who knows?
True, true. Also, we haven't seen Barkley in a long time either, for what it's worth. So.
Yeah.
That's only one puppeteer.
Right. He could come back.
Meet Tango. The crossover we all wanted.
Yeah.
Speaking of dogs, question 8. Itchy the dog. Ryan?
That sounds like an Oscar pet.
It is not an Oscar pet. Alethea, do you want to try to steal?
I'm like blanking. I was gonna say Oscar, but now Grungetta.
It is Grungetta, correct.
Whoa.
Correct.
Oh my god.
I was about to say, I mean, I wasn't gonna give this clue. I was gonna wait until after you guessed, but like, if it sounds like Oscar, but it's not Oscar,
wow.
it's Grungetta.
Okay.
Great minds think alike.
Question 9. Ralphie the parrot. Ryan?
Something in the back of my brain is telling me baby bear.
It is baby bear. Correct. Nice work.
Okay.
Question 10. Sammy the snake. His body looks like a letter S. You might remember that song. Ryan?
Well, Carol Channing in that song. I don't know if he's her pet.
No.
That, okay, don't count that. But yeah, okay.
I didn't know he had an owner.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would own a letter S snake?
It's not Carol Channing.
It's not Carol Channing.
The answer to these none of the answers to these questions are Carol Channing in this entire episode.
Good to know. Thank you.
Has Carol Channing ever been an answer to a question on Hubba Wah?
Not yet, but there's no reason she couldn't be. I ask about celebrities all the time.
Yeah.
All right, the correct answer, weirdly enough, established in one definition in the Sesame Street Dictionary, Prairie Dawn.
Wow. Was it a definition for the word snake?
I believe it's the definition for the word skin. It's a picture of Prairie holding Sammy the snake, and she says, "My pet snake, Sammy, has pretty stripes on his skin. I do not have stripes on my skin."
Okay.
Huh. Next question. Rufus the Firefly. Ryan.
That's Ernie.
That is Ernie.
And I would be remiss if I did not point out that is a reference to Groucho Marx's character in Duck Soup, I believe, whose name is Rufus T. Firefly.
Oh.
Oh, very nice.
Should have put that together. I've seen Duck Soup. I guess I just didn't remember Groucho's last name. And,
no,
I mean,
why would you?
And you watch those movies and you just call them Groucho. Chico.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's always just playing Groucho. Yeah.
Anyway, question 12. Teeny, Tiny, and Sweet Pea, the fish. Alethea?
It sounds like an Abby Cadabby thing. I think it's probably wrong.
It's not Abby Cadabby. Good guess.
Teeny, Tiny, and Sweet... Elmo?
It's not Elmo. It is actually Snuffy.
Oh, okay.
He has three very small fish.
That's cute.
Question 13. Night Train the Dog.
It's a cool name, whoever it is.
Ryan?
I'll take a wild guess that maybe it's a human character. I'll say David.
It is not David. Good guess. Alethea, care to guess?
Well, after you said it's not David, but he said a human character, now I feel like it's human character, but I was going to say Biff or Sully.
Well, it's not Biff or Sully or a human character.
Okay.
But it is a very cool character because it is, of course, Roosevelt Franklin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
As established in a comic from like the Sesame Street bedtime book, it's reprinted in The Sesame Street Treasury.
I have that book, but I have not opened it in many years. So.
Question 14. Little Murray Sparkles, the cat. Alethea.
Murray?
It's not Murray. Good
Dang
guess.
It. Okay.
Alethea, is Little Murray Sparkles before your time?
I don't know. I'm not recognizing the name Little Murray Sparkles.
You're going to love Little Murray. We're going to introduce you to Little Murray Sparkles okay. when this is over. Ryan?
Yeah, that's Elizabeth.
That is Elizabeth.
She should be my answer for what character should they use more
often. We need more Elizabeth.
They should bring back Elizabeth.
Yeah. We need more Elizabeth. Elizabeth was Stephanie DeBruzzo's character in like the early 2000s who was just... a girl with a really, really thick, like, New York accent, I guess?
I think so. Yeah, just kind of a brassy, boisterous little girl.
And she had a cat named Little Murray Sparkles.
Oh, probably somewhere in the deep recesses of my mind.
Thank you so much for finding Sparkles for me. You've made me so happy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And last but not least for this round, question 15, Wolfgang the Seal.
He's owned?
That's right. Someone owned Wolfgang the Seal. Ryan, do you have a guess?
Yeah, my guess is Gina.
It is not Gina. Good guess. Okay. Alethea, do you have a guess?
I was just thinking, like, maybe, like, Bert was randomly walking Wolfgang the Seal on some comic strip.
Sure. I mean, listen, I'm pulling from sources like that. But no, it's actually Uncle Wally.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Wolfgang was originally introduced as Wally's pet seal, and then Uncle Wally left the show, and Wolfgang did not leave the show.
So did Uncle Wally train Wolfgang to do tricks? That sounds like
my guess Wally is thing. That was an Uncle Wally thing.
Wow.
Uncle
okay.
Wally, for our younger listeners and or contestants, was a human character on the show who was just like a whimsical old man.
He was Bob's uncle.
That's right. He was Bob's uncle. Okay. All right. Well, that's it for pets. Nice work. And now let's move on to another one of Betty Lou's early appearances. And that's, of course, in the classic Sesame Street song, On the Subway. I love this song because it's a real catchy song, but also because it reminds me of one of my absolute favorite types of public transportation. Listen, since there isn't any room in this town, we put all the trains down under the ground. And the subway is, of course, the greatest way to explore the greatest city in the world. New York City, baby.
Yeah.
Sesame Street has always been filmed in New York City and is set in New York City, which makes it one of the most New York City shows of all time. That's why we're going to take the express right by our local address in a New York City game I'm calling On the Subway. I'm going to read a Sesame Street-themed fact about a New York City landmark. Your job is to buzz in and name the landmark. You'll get 2 points for each correct answer. Please wait until I finish reading the fact before you buzz in.
Excuse me. Pardon me, Sunny.
Down below the street, can you dig your steady beat? It's a subway.
Subway!
Question one. This New York landmark was the setting of the special Don't Eat the Pictures. Alethea.
The Met.
It was the Met, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, for any listeners who needed that clarification. Mm-hmm. Question two. In this long-running 1992 Sesame Street animated credits sequence, this icon of New York City shakes her hips to start and end the segment. Alethea.
Statue of Liberty.
It is the Statue of Liberty, correct. I once wrote, when we were doing our Sesame 50 reviews in 50 weeks, my review of the 1992 season was entirely talking about that credits sequence.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Question three. In a season 10 episode filmed on location, we learn that Snuffy comes to this location every day to listen to the singers. Alethea?
Is it, I can't remember the name of the Opera House, but is it the Opera House?
It is.
Okay.
I'll give you a point, Ryan. What's the Opera House named? The big Opera House in New York City?
Is it Lincoln Center?
Yes, the Metropolitan Opera House at Lincoln Center.
Would you have accepted the Met again for that?
Sure, I would have also accepted the Met, although I don't feel like anyone calls just the Opera House the Met.
Probably not.
I don't, maybe I'm wrong. And hey, Ryan, maybe this is an unfair question. I didn't realize that you were going to be here when I wrote this question, because bonus question for this. Tough Pigs once hosted an official Muppet Vault at Lincoln Center to celebrate which event?
Is that a question specifically for me?
No, either of you can buzz in.
Oh.
But I think one of you is more qualified to answer. Ryan, what were you doing on that day?
I feel bad. I shouldn't have buzzed in even. I think it was the 40th anniversary of Sesame Street.
It was not the 40th anniversary of Sesame Street. Incorrect.
Was it the 50th?
It was not the 50th either. Y'all are on both
sides. Wait, what were we doing there?
It was the 45th anniversary, guys. Come on, Ryan.
That's right. No, that, yeah, okay.
I remember I was living in the city at the time, and I was very upset that I could not make it because I had, like, a grad school final that day.
Yeah, that's, you should have skipped it.
I should have, but I bet it was good.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah. That was also, they had a great Sesame exhibit at Lincoln Center at the same time. Snuffy was there. I got my photo with Mr. Johnson.
They had Super Grover hanging like at the very top of the ceiling.
It was great. And they had like, I remember going in and crying because they had just the script to We'll Miss You, Mr. Hooper, just printed out on display.
Oh my god.
I mean, they should bring that exhibit back. Anyway, question four. Elmo learned what love means from a beluga whale at this landmark. Alethea.
Central Park Zoo.
It is not Central Park Zoo. Good guess. Ryan?
Is it... I'm trying to remember the name of this place, if in fact I have it correct. The Brooklyn Aquarium.
No, it's the New York Aquarium is the name. Question five. Both Gordon and Snuffy competed in this annual New York City athletic event. Ryan?
The New York Marathon.
That is the New York Marathon. Question six. A bench dedicated to Jim Henson can be found in this Manhattan area. That was Alethea. Alethea?
Central Park.
That is Central Park. Alethea, did you visit that when you were in the city?
I wanted to find the bench. I also wanted to find, I've been obsessed with the Netflix show Somebody Feed Phil. I wanted to find his bench too for his wife. But at the time, it was at the end of a long day. I was trekking through Central Park to get to the other side. And I, unfortunately, I said, Jim Henson lives in my heart. But unfortunately, I was not going to find his bench on that day.
That's fair. And speaking of, which important Sesame Street crew member has a bench next to Jim's? Ryan?
John Stone.
That is John Stone, correct. Question seven. Establishing shots of the Count's Castle are footage of this Central Park landmark. Ryan, do you know what it's called?
Yeah, that's Belvedere Castle.
It is called Belvedere Castle. Good.
I lived in New York City for 15 years and never went there. And then when I came back to visit a few months ago, I was like, I'm finally going to go to Belvedere Castle. And I went, and it's pretty cool.
Have you been inside?
No, it was closed today.
Okay, because I've never been inside. I was fortunate enough to live in a shoebox apartment that was not too far from Central Park. So I used to spend time in Central Park.
Yeah.
It was about the size of a twin bed, my bedroom.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah, that was like, I had room for a twin bed and a closet. That was it.
Did you go see his bench?
I did. Oh, I've seen the bench. Question eight. When he's not helping Forgetful Jones, Buster the Horse is a tour guide at this sister park to the New York Aquarium. Ryan?
I have two potential answers in my head. I'm going to say Prospect Park.
It is not Prospect Park. Good guess. Alethea, care to guess? This is in one episode, so I don't...
Washington Square?
No, it's the Bronx Zoo.
Oh,
makes sense.
This episode used to be on HBO, but, you know.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
But Elmo, Gordon, and Miles visited the Bronx Zoo in an episode, and their tour guide was randomly Buster the Horse.
Oh, that's fun.
You never know who has hobbies.
Yeah, exactly.
A side gig, yeah.
Question nine. For the 2008 Just Ask the Locals New York City tourism campaign, Big Bird and Elmo appeared in an ad in front of this iconic Manhattan skyscraper. Alethea?
The Empire State Building?
Not the Empire State Building. I'm sorry. You chose the wrong one. It was a guess. Ryan, what do you think it is?
The Chrysler Building.
It is the Chrysler Building. Oh, it's always one of those two.
It's one of those.
And question 10. This is the name of the Queens studio where Sesame Street has been filmed since 1993, the year they expanded to include Around the Corner. Ryan?
Kaufman Astoria.
It is Kaufman Astoria Studios. And what other Henson TV show filmed at Kaufman Astoria Studios, also in the early 90s? Alethea?
Jim Henson Hour?
Not the Jim Henson Hour. Good guess. Ryan, did you buzz in?
Yeah, Bear in the Big Blue House.
It was Bear in the Big Blue House. I should say, again, for our audience or anybody else, obviously you can't get in to Kaufman Astoria Studios unless you have an appointment, but it's like 10 feet away from the Museum of the Moving Image. So next time you visit the Museum of the Moving Image, you can wave to the gate.
Just go look at it. Also, if you're a fan of Orange is the New Black, that's where they filmed that.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
That one wasn't on Muppet Wiki. Question 11. Big Bird, Cookie Monster, Elmo, and Prairie Dawn are on permanent display at this New York City location. Alethea.
Museum of the Moving Image.
That is the Museum of the Moving Image. You were just there. They are still there. Those are the only Sesame Street characters on permanent display, right? There's a Whatnot, I think, also.
So. Hmm.
Or, I mean, an Anything Muppet.
Oh, and a Honker.
Oh!
Oh, nice.
Right, the Honker is at the front of... Yes. But they're the only ones in, like, the Sesame exhibit. That I was just basing off of my memory. Question 12. Since 2019, there has been a permanent Sesame Street sign hanging on the intersection between 63rd Street and this famous avenue. Ryan.
Broadway.
It is Broadway, baby. Ryan, you were there at the hanging of that sign, right?
I was not, actually.
Oh, you were not.
I was not able to make it to that one.
I think Joe was, and Matthew and Louie.
Yeah, a few of our Tough Picks friends were there.
I couldn't make it out there either. Anyway, this is our stop. Everybody off right here at Beat the Time.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
That's right. Now it's time for everyone's favorite head-to-head game.
Beat the Time!
Today's Beat the Time is probably my favorite one I've ever assembled, and the one that I was probably the most ridiculous for even trying to assemble.
You want to see silly, Monty? I will show you silly. Stand back!
You see, we can all probably agree that the best Betty Lou song of all time is I Want a Monster to Be My Friend.
Of course.
It's a swinging number that gets stuck in my head all the time and basically explains my worldview. After all, who wouldn't want a monster to be their friend? Well, if you do, I know the place to look. Over the past 54 years, Sesame Street has been home to a lot of monsters. Like, a lot of monsters. Yeah. So I went to Muppet Wiki. And I counted up every single recurring monster who has a name. And I got a list of 72 names. So I don't expect anybody to get all of them. That's not how Beat the Time works, as you know. But in this game, yes, you are going to take turns naming all of the monsters on Sesame Street.
Oh, boy. Okay. Can you recurring? Does that
mean? Well, I'm going to give you some ground rules.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to give you some ground rules. So first of all, I am only counting specific named characters. And this means that I am not counting, for instance, Grover's mommy as a character, because that is not a name, that is like a job or a lifestyle. I'm also not counting monsters who only appeared once, even if they were given a name in one episode. However, if that puppet appeared frequently, but was only given a name in one episode, I will count that. I wish I could give you an example of that, but that would give away some of the answers.
Oh.
Again, I'm aware we're not going to name all 72 of these, but we're going to go for as many as we can. Starting with Alethea, name a Sesame Street monster.
Grover.
Oh, well, give me a second to finish explaining the rules, okay. Although yours can be Grover.
That's good.
Keep that in mind. Grover is on my list. We're going to go back and forth between the two of you to see who can name more. If you can't remember a monster, or you get the name of a monster wrong, your opponent will have a chance to steal. If neither of you get the question right, the round ends. or if neither of you can think of anything to say. All right, here we go. Let's meet our new friends.
I need a very special friend. Won't you help me, please?
Alethea, give me a monster.
Rover.
Rover, correct. Ryan?
Cookie Monster.
Correct. Alethea?
Elmo.
Ryan?
Telly.
Correct. Alethea?
Rosita.
Correct. Ryan?
Zoe.
Zoe, correct. Alethea?
Frazzle.
Frazzle, correct. Oh. Ryan?
Harry.
Harry, correct. Alethea?
I'm throwing off my game now. Oh, this is awful.
It's okay. This is hard. Even though you know these characters, it's still hard.
Can he steal it?
Yeah, Ryan, you want to steal? Give me a monster.
Murray.
Murray monster, correct. Alethea, you want to try again?
Does Ruby count?
Ruby? Ruby is absolutely on my list. Of course Ruby counts. Ryan?
I think, did you actually say Rudy?
I think I said Rudy.
Because I'm going to say Rudy, though.
I thought you said Ruby, which counts. Oh. But Rudy also counts. So, you know what? We're back to you. Ruby was a short-lived, weirdly enough, yellow monster. Don't know why they made that choice. Was it the late 80s, Ruby? They were they're always trying to add more female characters that never worked. And of course, Rudy is Abby's stepbrother. Alethea, I believe we're back to you.
I had to climb into the my sister's era of the Sesame bedtime podcast for Ruby.
So I will say, to make this easier for myself, I broke this down into three sub lists of extremely well-known monsters, moderately well-known monsters, and monsters I didn't think you guys are going to get. I bring this up because there are 4 monsters still remaining on that first list of well-known monsters. You have a guess, Alethea?
My brain is not working with me today.
That's okay. Ryan?
I'm trying to think who else could be on that extremely well-known list, but nothing's coming to me. But I will say Leo the Party Monster.
Leo the Party Monster is on my list. You gotta have potato chips at a party.
Party.
I have one now.
Okay, Alethea?
Beautiful Day Monster.
The Beautiful Day Monster is on my list. I guess that shouldn't count because he's not really named on Sesame Street, but you know what? He's on my list.
Yeah.
How can he not be? Yeah. Ryan?
Natasha.
Natasha. Baby Natasha. Alethea?
Louis is his name, right?
Louis is his name, correct. Louis is Elmo's dad. Ryan?
Ingrid.
Ingrid, baby Natasha's mother.
Yes.
Alethea.
Humphrey.
Humphrey, baby Natasha's father.
Yeah.
Ryan?
Well, that was going to be my next one. Dexter.
Dexter is on my list. Dexter, the juggling monster. Folks, I will post a video of Dexter on social media. If you haven't seen Dexter the Juggling Monster, this was a giant monster. A professional juggler performed the hands of the monster, and then Kevin Clash, stretching his arm as high as it would go, performs his head above the juggler. And he could only just stand in place and juggle.
In Kevin Clash's memoir, he devoted a few paragraphs to talking about what a failure that character was.
Because he couldn't do anything
else. Because that's all he could do was just stand there and juggle. Yeah.
He couldn't walk around because there were multiple. You'd see Kevin Clash if he even moved slightly to the side. Anyway.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it is, Alethea.
Does Cousin Monster count as a name?
I didn't count Cousin Monster as a name.
Hmm.
Because I counted that as being in the same category as Grover's mommy. However, I will say, since it doesn't need the name of another character in its name, I will give you Cousin Monster.
Whose cousin is that?
Whose cousin was he?
That's Cookie Monster's cousin who doesn't like cookies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
I'll accept that. Because it's not called Cookie Monster's cousin.
That might be on her birth certificate for all we know.
It might be.
Ryan, do you have a guess?
Yes, I should have thought of this one sooner. The two-headed monster.
Oh my god.
There is only one more on my list of well-known monsters. Aletheia.
We already said Murray.
We already did Murray, yeah. My personal favorite.
Baby Bear is not a monster.
No. No, he's a bear. It's in his name.
I'm going to surrender this.
Okay. Ryan, any other guesses?
Oh, Sherry Netherland.
Sherry Netherland, correct. Another of my favorites. Anybody else? Aletheia, you give up still, or?
Is the cereal girl, is that a monster, or is that a girl?
The cereal girl is considered a monster, and I did count that as a name. Nice work. That's Aletheia, you have gotten the first one from the third list of that I didn't think anyone would get with the cereal girl. Ryan, I guess we're back to you.
Okay. Mona.
Mona monster, correct. The same puppet as Ingrid.
As
monster.
Ingrid, yeah.
Was she Telly's sister?
Sister, cousin. I think she was a sister, actually.
Sister, yeah.
Equally neurotic.
Does Deli count? Is her name Deli? Telly's like Z, not cousin, friend.
Oh, you know, so doesn't count. And also the reason I didn't count cousin monster was because cousin monster is only in one episode, like Zelly. But I'm still going to give you a point for cousin monster, but I'm not for Zelly, because I said give you a point for cousin monster. It's a one episode, like, because I said it needs to be in more than one episode. So
fair enough.
Because then I would be here all day, and we're already going to be here all day. Ryan, any other guesses?
Mary Monster.
Yes, Mary Monster. Different than Murray Monster, although the same performer as Murray Monster.
Oh, yeah. Did a rap with Queen Latifah.
It's true. Aletheia?
Gray Monster wouldn't count because his name is not Gray Monster, presumably, right?
What is Gray Monster?
You know, like the We Are All Monsters, like the Kermit the Frog.
Oh, Kermit the Frog is on my list as a name, which I will tell you is going to unlock a couple other ones. Ryan?
Yeah, you know, you left it open now. So Kermit the Gorf.
Kermit the Gorf, correct. Also known as Maurice Monster, Kermit the Gorf.
Oh, okay.
And Aletheia?
I'd stunt myself with that one, so...
How could you start? Wait, there's one more.
I know, and I don't know it.
Okay.
I mean, I could guess. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to be Kermit the, like, Rorg or Rorf.
It's not Kermit the Rorf. No, I'm sorry. Ryan, you know what it is.
Kermit the Groff.
It is Kermit the Groff. Also known as Bruce Monster.
Really?
According to Muppet Wiki.
Okay.
Aletheia, any other ones?
Not that I can think of right now.
Ryan?
Phoebe.
Phoebe, correct. Also known as Groogle.
Yeah, right. I wasn't sure if that was the one who had two names.
Aletheia?
No, Barkley is a dog.
Barkley's a dog, yeah.
That's not in his name.
No, not as consistently as Baby Bear, at least.
And due to his size, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty monstrous.
I forfeit again.
Ryan?
Narf.
Narf, correct. Phoebe's friend Narf.
Yeah, they have two other friends. What are their names?
They do have two other friends. Aletheia, I take it you don't know their two other friends?
I don't know their two other friends. I wish I did. I wish I had the pleasure.
Oh, you no, you don't.
I don't.
There were four annoying monsters.
Monster Clubhouse.
The Monster Clubhouse, exactly. Monster Clubhouse, that's what we do. If you want to play, be a monster too.
That sounds like separationism.
Oh.
Going a little too literary theory on this.
Teaching kids the wrong lesson there.
Well, I mean, these are annoying monsters, right? So we're supposed to gather them.
Yeah,
true. We're learning the wrong lesson from them. Ryan, anything else?
Yeah, okay. Juliet.
Juliet is on my list.
I think that was the third identity of the Ingrid slash
I believe
Mona.
You're right. That was the third identity of Ingrid. Okay, either of you can just shout out any you know at this point.
Oh, Lulu.
Lulu, I will take Lulu. Another Stephanie DeBruzzo character that did not last.
Yeah.
Sorry, Stephanie.
Yeah. Gone too soon. How many have you? You don't know how many we've done so far.
So there's one left from the one that I thought would be easy. Wow. Then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 left from the list that I thought would be medium. And then 30 left from the hard list. Don't okay. even try.
We've said Rosita.
We did say Rosita.
I'm trying to think of other more well-known monsters that have family members that have names.
Well, I will say this is not anybody's family member, the well-known one, but this is a character who still appears on the show with some amount of regularity.
We're gonna be so ashamed if we don't get this one.
One of my favorite characters.
Ooh.
One of our friend Joe Hennis's favorite characters.
Prairie Dawn's not a monster.
Prairie Dawn is not a monster, although she did work for the Monster News Network because it was a job in journalism. That's a line.
we said Telly.
We did say Telly. This monster is on my Christmas tree. I mean, no, you can't see it now because it's August, but on my Christmas tree.
I'm gonna be so upset when I don't get it.
Yeah.
Frequently on the show now.
Yeah, frequently.
The Count doesn't count as a monster.
No, I don't count the Count as a monster.
Okay.
Abacadabby's a fairy.
Abacadabby is a fairy, which is apparently different than a monster.
Well, if it's one of Joe's favorite characters, he's going to be yelling at us when he listens to this.
Yeah, on the show a lot.
Ugh.
I have a toy of this character, although it isn't in arm's reach of my desk. It's on top of my dresser in the other room, but not that our friends at home could see this.
Right.
I mean, can I just call it, or are we good?
I'm gonna be so sad when I know it, but
Ryan,
don't...
do you have a frantic list of other weird 80s characters you remember?
I'm actually Aristotle.
Aristotle, speaking of weird 80s characters.
Okay, yeah.
Telly Monster's blind friend Aristotle, one of the only monsters with ears.
Oh.
Oh.
Of course, Bill the Frog has ears.
That's true. But he's not a monster.
No, he's not on Sesame Street. I can't remember the other Monster Clubhouse.
I'm being such a good kid right now. I have like the cereal, I don't know which cereal one it was, the little tiny mini bean Sesame Street characters. I have them on my wall behind me and I'm not looking at them.
Well, you've named every single mini bean. You've okay. at least all of
I was wondering if there was one that I forgot.
Do you have all of them, Alethea?
I do.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Are they in like the display rack or...
Oh, yeah, I got it for a crazy deal, like $30 on eBay.
You gotta send me a picture of that.
Yeah, I will.
I love those.
Eddie Lou's there.
Yeah, no, I know, but not Prairie Dawn. They did not make a Prairie Dawn. They just made Betty Lou, and then they made like Rubber Ducky.
They did make Rubber Ducky.
That's such a cool self-contained collection.
Benny Rabbit, Natasha. It's got all my favorites.
Amazing Mumford.
Yeah. Anyway, so the full list.
I thought of two more.
Oh, okay.
And then I think I've done Dina and Pearl.
Dina and Pearl, the weirdest of the weird 80s monsters.
Yeah.
I'll save the obvious one for last.
Okay.
We're going to go from the hard list to the easy list as I just read through these real quick. So on the hard list, and I didn't write down what some of these look like or did, so I don't even remember many of these.
Mm-hmm.
But Andre Monster, Arlene Frantic.
Oh, so then Bennett Snurf will be on.
Bennett Snurf is on here too. Baby Tooth and the Fuzzy Funk.
Sure.
Big V, Billy Monster, and Billy, also known as Fred's son, Karina the ballerina, who was a friend of Zoe's, Clancy, Fenwick, the flute snatcher, Fred, Harry, not Harry, but Harry, Harvey, Helena, Imogene, Jesse, Max the Magnificent, Norman, Old MacDougal, Parker, Radon, Rocky, Scudge, the Snurfs, Snurk, Snitch, Spaulding Monster, and Zoftig. And then our middle list, remaining from the maybe you know these characters, Abby's stepdad, Freddy.
Oh, he's a name.
Monster Clubhouse co-conspirator, Google, a.k.a. Mooba.
Wow. Wait. So there was a Google, and then Phoebe also used to be called Groogle?
But here's the thing. When it was Google, it was Phoebe. When it was Mooba, it was Groogle.
Okay.
It's not confusing at all.
Yeah.
And now we get chased by an elephant. Carly? I don't know what Carly is. I didn't write that down, but I guess it was obvious. I don't know. May, who is Elmo's mom, has a name.
Yeah.
Max Monster, who sings Comb Your Face. Mel, who is the fourth Monster Clubhouse member.
Yeah, the one who spoke gibberish.
Yeah, he talks like lips. Rosita's dad, who is named Ricardo, the only one of Rosita's family members who has a name. And of course, from the original 1975 clip of Fur, Stewie Monster.
Oh, Stewie Monster, of course.
And last, but certainly not least, Gonger.
No!
Wow. That's embarrassing. Gonger, the best new Sesame Street character of the last 20 years, 15 years at least.
Quite possibly.
Murray doesn't even count the last 15 years, does he?
No. Is he?
Probably not at this point.
Because he was definitely around for the maybe it's 15 almost exact, because he was around for the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, okay.
At least. Because that was, of course, the heyday of Joey Mazzarino. Anyway, I'm totaling these up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, we've got some points totaled there. Thank you for putting up with that that monster of a round.
That was such a challenge, but so satisfying.
I'm so enlightened now.
I'm impressed we got as many as we did.
I mean, listen, you got two from the hard list.
All right.
Serial Girl and Juliet were both on the hard list that I made.
Not bad.
Well, we're going to end things out with one more trivia game before our final two shorter rounds. And to make sure that everyone is happy, we're going to end this with one of my favorite games, The Triangle Is Right.
That's right, Buried On, The Triangle Is Right!
That is a game?
Okay, now let's start playing our game.
Oh, not much of a game.
And also, since we're choosing something that we all love, we're going to theme this game after something we can all agree on. Ice cream. Or I guess, more specifically, the Betty Lou song, Everyone Likes Ice Cream.
Yep.
In this song, Betty Lou and two other Anything Muppet kids explain how, even though people can be very different, they're often the same in key ways, such as liking ice cream. Which got me thinking about two things: Anything Muppets, and ways that Anything Muppets are the same and different. We all know the Anything Muppets. They've got stock puppet colors and shapes that, with a change of a few facial features and performance quirks, can become vastly different characters. Take, for instance, the small, hot pink Anything Muppet pattern. Mm-hmm. This pattern could become Prairie Dawn, or Gonger, or the Bubsy Twins, or of course, Betty Lou. In this game, I am going to name an Anything Muppet color and pattern. You'll buzz in and name three characters constructed from that Anything Muppet. For each of these, there are more than three possible answers, but we're keeping it to three because we just did all of the monsters. I don't have time to do all of the hot pink things. Remember, buzz in even if you don't know all three answers. You'll get points for whatever you can name. However, of course, your opponent will have the chance to finish off whatever you can't.
Right.
All right. So here we go. Okay, our first Anything Muppet is Fat Blue. Alethea.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson is the fat blue anything Muppet.
Oh, man.
It's okay.
All right. You can have it.
Ryan, name another fat blue.
Simon Soundman.
Simon Soundman, correct. And can you name one more?
You're asking me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think Papa Twiddlebug.
Papa Twiddlebug, correct.
Okay.
Other ones on my list, and this is not all of them, but ones that I thought maybe there was a chance you'd say, were Little Chrissy, Professor Hastings,
and
Big Jeff. Question two. Green. Alethea?
Farley is one.
Right? Farley is absolutely one of the green.
If he would be proud of me for that one.
Yeah, no. He's listening and beaming that you remembered, you remembered his son, Farley.
I don't know. Others. Oh, is the J song, is one of those the green anything Muppet?
The J's. I know what you're talking about. Let me see. Because I didn't have that written down, but that is a song.
And I know they have names because they say their names. It's like
they
Jeff.
Do it. One of them is green. I will give you 2 points for bringing up such a specific thing as the J Friends.
Yeah.
The one performed by Frank Oz, who I think was Joe, is the green one.
Okay.
Any other ones?
Oh, I forgot that we were. I was.
No, it's okay. You can go for three, or you can let Ryan have the third.
I'm gonna let Ryan go.
All right, Ryan, name another green anything Muppet.
Yeah, I. Oh, actually, okay. Which one of them? I think Arlene Frantic.
See, you guys keep choosing ones that aren't on my list. Arlene Frantic is the green anything Muppet. Okay. I will give it to you, Ryan.
Wow. Only because we mentioned her earlier, did that.
Yeah, other more obvious choices.
Yeah.
Alethea, look up at your mini beans because Sherlock Hemlock is the green anything Muppet. as is Lefty the Salesman.
Aww.
Little Jerry.
Yes.
Ryan, your favorite character, Forgetful Jones' girlfriend, Clementine.
Oh, yeah. I like Clementine. Yep.
We mentioned her earlier, Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Who has Little Murray Sparkles. And JP from the Miami Mice, I had written down. Question three, Large Lavender. Alethea.
The Count.
Okay, The Count. That's the easy one.
Countess Natasha.
I will give you Countess Natasha.
And then, I can't remember her name. Is it like Count Backwards or something?
There is a Countess Backwards. I will give it to you.
Yeah!
All right, nice. That's three. But I also had Amazing Mumford.
Yeah.
Forgetful Jones.
Uh-huh.
Biff and Harvey Knieslapper.
Harvey Knieslapper really scared me, and to be honest, is a little scary to me.
Oh no, Harvey Knieslapper is a little scary. Frank Oz hated being Harvey Knieslapper. That's a famous story.
I would.
Question four, Orange Gold. Ryan?
Guy Smiley.
Guy Smiley is the Orange Gold puppet.
Prince Charming.
Prince Charming, who is basically the same as Guy Smiley.
And another character whose name is I don't know.
Okay, Alethea, can you name another Orange Gold?
Don Music.
Oh, of course. Ryan, you'll never get it.
No, I'm banging my head on the keyboard right now.
Also would have accepted one of my favorites, Monty.
Oh, yeah.
And Vincent Twice.
Vincent Twice.
Okay. There's other ones, too. But again, these are just the ones I wrote down. Question five, Small Lavender. Ryan?
Roosevelt Franklin?
I'm sorry, Roosevelt Franklin is not considered to be small lavender.
Okay.
He's not lavender, is he?
No, because he's not lavender.
Well, no, okay.
Alethea?
I can't do the J Friends again, can I?
Is one of them small and lavender?
Oh, maybe?
Yes. Hold on. Is this what I consider to be, they consider to be small lavender? Yes. Okay. You know what? I'll take a J friend. One of them is lavender. One of them is lavender. I don't know which J friend it is. It appears to be the one who is voiced by Fran Brill. Hmm. So it's either it's either Jane or Joan. I don't know which. Any other ones?
Are any of the Beatles a purple, any lavender, or small, anything Muppet?
One of the Twiddlebugs, or the Beatles, or the Twiddlebugs?
Well, I was specific.
The Beatles are all green, right?
Oh, that's right. Well, you can pretend I said Twiddlebugs, but
well, I would have needed a name for Twiddlebug. I'm not just giving it to you.
All right.
Lavender ones on this list: Herbert Birdsfoot.
Oh.
Polly Darton.
Sure. Yes. Okay.
Sammy the Snake.
Okay.
Captain Vegetable and Roxy Marie.
Captain Vegetable's not a large lavender?
No, he's small.
Okay.
At least according to Muppet Wiki.
Yeah, no, I'm surprisingly bad at this.
Okay, and this is the last one, and this is the hardest one. Pumpkin. Ryan?
Frazzle.
Frazzle was originally the pumpkin anything Muppet, correct? Can you name two other ones, though?
Probably not. pumpkin. Oh. Is it Richard from Little Jerry and the Monotones?
You know, I can't give you that because we, and this is fascinating to me, do not know which member of the Monotones is Richard and which one of them is Chrissy. It has never been established.
Huh, okay. Fair enough.
We only know that Little Jerry is the green one and Big Jeff is the blue one. According to Muppet Wiki, we are not sure which one is which.
Okay. Yeah, I got nothing else.
Alethea, any guesses for Pumpkin?
I'm blank.
Same one as Frazzle. All right. There aren't many good choices here. This is the hard one. But one of the ones that I thought you guys would get was Sully.
Oh! I love Sully!
And also Dr. Phil. Everyone's favorite Dr. Phil parody Muppet.
Yeah. That was a weird thing. That was...
He showed up like repeatedly too.
Yeah, and it was Steve Whitmire. Yeah.
Steve Whitmire's at least, I mean, he's from the South, so I guess that's
I think that's
sense.
Probably why. Yeah. They're like, can you play this Southern guy?
Yeah, like all right. Let me total up the scores. While I'm doing that, first of all, are you both okay? We're almost done. We're in the tail end here. And second of all, make sure that you've got your questions ready, because we're gonna do that round.
I feel as good as Betty Lou that time. She was hanging out with her best friend, Louise.
Nice work there. I wish I could give you both a nice big bowl of ice cream. But instead, I'm going to give you our next game, the Anything in the World prize game. This is our classic Stump the Host game. As you know, in this round, you will be able to ask me anything in the world about Sesame Street. Yours does not have to be about Betty Lou. I will clarify. If you stump me, you will earn 15 points. Here's the scores right now. Alethea, you have a score of 63 points. Ryan, you have a score of 95 points. okay. I will say, remembering those 80s monsters really helped you pull ahead. You got three times as many monsters as Alethea did.
Fair enough. I think I watched so much Sesame Street.
Yeah, so that's exactly where you pulled ahead, because that's the difference in the point scores right here.
Thanks, Juliet.
Yeah, exactly. For your memory of Juliet monster and Aristotle monster. So, Alethea, if you stump me with this question, you will earn 15 points. Alethea, what is your question for me?
Okay. I'm not sure about the difficulty level of this
It's one, okay.
But
everyone's okay. A winner.
Who is not a Sesame Street parody character? Mm-hmm. A. Neil Cowherd. B. Eel Sadaka. C. Triangle Bob Triangle Pants. Or D. Mia Sparrow.
The only one I know for a fact is Triangle Bob Triangle Pants, because we had that great article a while ago where, was it Shane who put photos of every Bob costume? Or was it you, right. Ryan?
It wasn't me. No.
Okay, then it was probably Shane.
Yeah, Bob wore a lot of ridiculous costumes.
I'm gonna guess Eel Sadaka, because I feel like I would remember an eel puppet if there was an eel puppet on Sesame Street. But I guess it could just be the Sammy the Snake puppet again. But my guess is still Eel Sadaka.
You are correct. Well, Sadaka is an eel I made up in the recesses of my own imagination.
Well, listen, that's a great character, and they should look you up.
Can I just ask, when did they use Mia Sparrow?
I'm gonna guess like the 80s. I don't actually know.
I mean, okay.
I would guess that too. Yeah. Oh, Mia Sparrow, 1989. Okay. She is a bird as well as an actress who appears in episode 2540 during an interview with Flaubert. She talks about her gratitude for her new role in an upcoming movie, I'm Alive. And Alethea, what was the first one that you said?
Noel Cowherd.
Is that a cow or a cowboy?
It's a cowboy from 1991. He's the fastest draw in the West because he is very good at drawing. Wow, he's appeared multiple times.
Really? Does he deliver witty bon mots?
No.
About cowboy life?
No, maybe. He's an old friend of Forgetful Jones. He defeated Billy the Grown-Up in a square fight. Which was a fight to see which person could draw squares fastest.
Of course.
He appeared alongside Johnny Cash and is on the albums Elmo's Lowdown Hoedown and Kids' Favorite Songs. That's a lot of Noel Cowherd material.
Important.
Considering it's a parody of an English playwright wrote Private Lives. Like, that's pretty specific.
Indeed. I did I tested my parents with this one, and they both thought I made up Noel Cowherd.
Yeah, I mean, that is... Sure. It was between those two, because I was like, they didn't do a Noel Cowherd parody character. What? But no, apparently they did. So I'm sorry, Alethea, you do not earn 15 points there.
I'm proud of you.
Ryan?
Yeah, so it was, I was thinking about trying to figure out a way to tie this back to Betty Lou, but I don't think I can. Also, based on the pet round, I am suspicious that you might have come across the answer to this in your research, but I'm going to go with it anyway. There are at least three Sesame Street Muppets who have faithful horse companions. They are Marshall Grover, Forgetful Jones, and Prince Charming. Can you name all three of their horses?
Ooh. So Buster is Forgetful Jones' horse.
Yes.
Fred the Wonder Horse is Grover's horse.
Yep, you got his full name. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you gotta. I did not know Prince Charming had a horse, Harpo.
No, that would be a good name for a horse.
Yeah, Harpo the horse.
No, it was Duke.
Oh, see, that's funny. Sure.
Yeah, I have not seen any clips of him, actually, but I assume he talked in a John Wayne voice. It was Richard Hunt, apparently.
That feels like something that Richard Hunt would do.
And this is, I think, a relatively recent wiki discovery that Prince Charming actually appeared in several Street Stories. I think in the late 70s. Yeah, so he usually had Duke with him.
Works. This seems like he was only in Street Stories, which means that these weren't re-aired, and I wasn't alive in 1975 to see them.
But I had to stump you.
Although, interestingly enough, he did show up again in 1990 as a different character's horse, there performed by Marty Robinson.
Okay.
Now, would you have accepted Lance, which is what Prince Charming's horse was referred to in the Who's Who on Sesame Street coloring book, according to Muppet Wiki?
I did see that was on the wiki page. Yeah, I would have accepted that.
Okay, Lance was a you got me. And hey, it wound up being themed to our first round. Ryan, you earned 15 points.
Thank you.
We are going to move into our final game, which is, of course, Say the Word. So, here's our current score. Aletheia, you have 63 points. Ryan, you have 110 points. Well, it's still anybody's game, though. Because that's how Say the Word works. In this round, you can wager any amount of points. The winner gets the points. The loser loses them. You will hear the question before you wager. So, here's the question. As we've seen throughout this episode, Betty Lou is an enigma. She's been so many things to so many people. She's had many names, many forms. She loves go-karts and monsters and subways and Talbert and Louise and Cinnamon Toast. Unlike her hot pink peer, Prairie Dawn, who has a clear, understandable personality and really only two performers, Betty Lou didn't have a regular performer until the 90s. Muppet Wiki lists six different performers in her casting history. Name as many of these performers as you can. Whoever gets more correct will win the points that they wagered. So you do not have to get all six right to earn your points. You know, if Ryan gets three of the performers right and Aletheia gets four of the performers right, Ryan, you will lose your bet, and Aletheia, you will gain your bet. I mean, worst comes to worst, guess six puppeteers. I have written down here where each of these performers performed her, but you do not need to know that. Okay, so neither of you got all six correct answers. However, both of you did get a bunch correct, which is good, both of you. And I haven't actually counted how many you've got right. So let's start. Ryan, you bet 20 points. Yes. Which six puppeteers did you name?
I named Frank Oz, Fran Brill, Jerry Nelson, Carol Spinney, Lisa Buckley, and Cheryl Blaylock.
Okay. Aletheia, you guessed 10 points, and you named six puppeteers as well. Who did you name?
I got the note. I named Fran Brill, Frank Oz, Richard Hunt, Loretta Long with a question mark. Jim Henson was a joke, and then I remembered I could only write six. Jerry Nelson.
Okay, well, listen. So, like I said, you each got some of those correct. Let's walk through who performed Betty Lou, according to Muppet Wiki, and I will tell you whether you got that right. So, both of you named Frank Oz. Frank Oz is listed because Frank Oz performed Betty Lou in Pick Your Pet, although she was called Lucy Jones there, and in Everyone Likes Ice Cream. So you each got Frank Oz correct.
Yay!
Yay.
Second one on my list was Fran Brill. You both guessed Fran Brill. That is the obvious guess, seeing as for a long time she was the only female puppeteer.
I think I grew up listening to a read-along book and tape that was Fran Brill as Betty Lou.
Fran did Betty Lou on all of the books at Book and Tapes.
Okay. Yeah.
And of course, Betty Lou appeared, as we've talked about, a lot more often in books than ever on the show.
Right.
She also performed her in the original exercise sketch, Amigo, beginning, middle, and end, when the Ice Follies sketches were given narration, all sorts of things like that. Hmm. The next person on my list is Jerry Nelson, who you each guessed as well.
All right.
Specifically in the song Clubhouse Cooperation.
Which I definitely...
Now, next person on my list, neither of you wrote.
Oh, no.
And this is who I consider to be the definitive Betty Lou, Marilyn Sokol. Those two songs, I Want a Monster to Be My Friend and On the Subway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marilyn Sokol, wish she did more with the Muppets. She's so good in Emmett Otter and so good on both of those songs. I guess mostly on I Want a Monster to Be My Friend. She's got like one line in Subway, but
I realize now I was thinking too narrowly because I wasn't taking into account voice, like vocal dub performances.
It's listed on Muppet Wiki.
Yeah, no, it would be. Yeah, because Marilyn Sokol didn't do the puppetry. She was the voice, but she did it. Yeah.
Do we know that she didn't do the puppetry on Sesame Street, though?
Oh, I mean, I guess she didn't. She didn't for Emmett Otter.
But... She didn't for Emmett Otter. Okay, no, it was voice only. She only did puppeteering in, it looks like, Santa Claus Switch.
Okay.
But no, she, yeah. Next person on my list, Richard Hunt, which Alethea guessed, but Ryan did not. No. Richard seems to have performed her in the song It's Funny and Looks Like Nowhere Else.
Huh.
And the last person on my list is Lisa Buckley, who was, of course, Betty Lou's regular performer from seasons 25 through 29, when they desperately tried to make Betty Lou a major character who loved collecting dolls. That was her thing.
Right.
And I'm going to say this, wore a really ugly dress that really bothers me. Ryan, you also guessed Cheryl Blaylock, not on my list.
And yeah, that was just a guess.
Carol Spinney, not on my list.
I thought maybe one of those early things.
Alethea, you guessed Loretta Lynn, not on my list. Good guess, though, considering...
Loretta Long.
Not Loretta Lynn.
That would be...
Who was on Sesame Street?
That's true.
That would have been cool.
You guessed Loretta Long, which made sense as a guest, seeing as Gordon voiced Roosevelt Franklin, and they're kind of similar characters. She voiced Roosevelt Franklin's mother.
Oh, right, of course.
So not Betty Lou, though. And you guessed Jim Henson, possibly as a joke. Not on my list either. So weirdly enough, you both got the same number of performers correct, just different performers. Or I guess three of the same performers, and Ryan said Lisa Buckley and Alethea said Richard Hunt. So you each get your points back because you tied on that. But of course, Ryan's lead was a little too high to surmount. So our winner and today's toughest pig is Ryan Rowe. Once again, Ryan.
Thank you. This was a great game.
Well, thank you. Congratulations. You, of course, win your choice of a Metro card, which is great for getting on the Subway, the longest running show underground. I got a little bored making magnets. So I started making these like little picture cards. And so here's a little picture of Betty Lou and the Beautiful Day Monster together at last after Pick Your Pet. And I will happily send you this if you'd prefer this to a Subway card.
You know, the Metro card might be useful the next time I'm in the New York area, but I think I gotta go with the picture card.
I will send you my little picture card of Betty Lou.
Thanks.
And now you understand the reference because you know all about Pick Your Pet, where she picks the Beautiful Day Monster over Little Bird and Baskerville the Hound.
What's her reasoning for that?
The game is like she's blindfolded and it's like the dating game where they each she gets to ask a certain amount of questions and doesn't actually get to ask the beautiful day monster any questions, but she clearly wants a cat, so she isn't happy with a bird or a dog, so she guesses the third one, and then is very happy to learn that the beautiful day monster has soft, silky fur and purrs and wants to drink milk. So okay. She got the pet she wanted after all.
Well, that's nice.
Sweet.
And now you get that reference. So that brings us to the end of another one. So guests, where can people find you if you wish to be found? Ryan, let's start with you.
Toughpigs.com always. The Moving Right Along Muppet Movie Podcast has a bonus episode. We're in between seasons as we record this. We do have a bonus episode coming soon, possibly out by the time you hear this. Our guest on that episode is Becca Petunia, the host of this podcast.
That's true.
And we're talking about the 1994 Muppet album Kermit Unpigged, and it's a really fun episode, so everyone should seek that out. I'm not really on Twitter anymore, or X, or whatever it's called, because that's just a disaster.
Yeah.
I have been a little more active on Blue Sky recently. Actually, you gave me my Blue Sky invite.
I sure did give you your
Blue Sky. I really like it there. I hope it catches on. I hope everybody uses Blue Sky forever now. So I am at me Ryan Rowe over there.
And Alethea?
So I am my personal, like, you know, Alethea account is at Alethea Shirilan, Shirilan is my last name. And then I have a link tree in that bio with like my website, and like you can find some of the links to my plays and stuff there. And then for Sesame History, I believe my Twitter handle is Sesame History. I'm trying to make the migration to Blue Sky right now. I just got a Blue Sky code, so I think it's also Sesame History there. But if you have trouble finding me, a few searches should do it. Or like a look through the Muppet Twitter community.
I'll tag you in this post. You're fine. And again, it's a delightful little page. A lot of just funny posts and like good memories and weird, creepy Ernie sleeping dolls and everything you could want. And of course, you can find me on Tough Pigs. Tough Pigs, of course, still the best place to find me or Ryan or any of us, because Tough Pigs has lasted 22 years without exploding, and that's so more than I can say about any of these other social media websites. Well, in my defense, I wasn't writing for it 22 years ago, so I don't have to feel that old. I've only been writing for it for 9 years. But of course, you can find Tough Pigs if you do want to go on social media. You could find Tough Pigs on Twitter and Facebook and Blue Sky and Instagram. And we are on Patreon. If you want to support us, you could give us some money on Patreon and get some exclusive free stuff. I should also mention, you can support us on the Tough Pigs TeePublic page. We've got a bunch of designs, some of which I designed, including a Hubba Wah shirt, some Pride shirts still available, a Monster at the End of This Book shirt I designed.
Number one seller.
I'm pumping my fist. You can't see it, audience at home, but
I would say 90% of the time we get a notification from TeePublic that you've made a sale. Almost every time it's the Monster at the End of This Book shirt.
I gotta say, I mean, listen, I'm proud because I worked hard on that, and I think it's a wonderful shirt and all of those different things. Yes, sure.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, some of the newer designs, the Muppet movie inspired designs, I love. And the only thing that's keeping me from getting them is because I can't decide which one to get, and I know I can't get like all 10 of them. Anna, there should be a new design by the time this episode is out. A new design I made should be available. No, I made Lips Tutter Street Trumpet Company shirt.
Yes,
I made a replica of it.
Yeah, that looks great.
So that should be up. And if you want to find me on social media, boy, this is going long. If you want to find me on social media, at Uncle Petunio on Twitter. That's Uncle, like the kind of person who might own Wolfgang the Seal. And Petunio is like the flower, but with an O instead of an A. And I'm on all of the other socials, Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Threads, at Tall Girl Petunia. That time, Petunia is spelled like the flower. Oof. I'd like to thank some people for helping out. Of course, our guests. Thank you both, seriously.
Thank you.
Well, thank me for writing and editing and producing and hosting the show. Thanks to Stacey Rosen for writing the theme music for the show. Ryan, how's Stacey doing?
She's good. I could run downstairs and ask her. But last time I saw her, she was playing Tetris and doing very well.
Okay. Well, hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Thanks to Richard Gomez for doing the host artwork for the show. Thanks to Katie Lynn Miller for writing our transcripts. Thanks to Joe Hennis, the Tough Pigs Muppet Fan Podcast executive producer. And of course, thanks to Betty Lou.
No.
And lastly, thanks to all of you at home for being with us on Hubbawa, the Muppet Quiz Show. And as always, Betty Lou loves the xylophone, orange juice, baseball, overalls, go-karts, and her best friend, Luis. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Betty Lou.
But there is one thing special which everyone agrees.
Except for me, and I don't agree.
Oh, you do, sir.
I do not.
You're just silly.